reaches out to a lot of different places, internationally, locally. It was great to see, you know, our folks feeding the homeless yesterday at the shelter in the morning, bright and early. We also, yesterday afternoon at Eastbrook, there were just an incredible number of people out. We fed along with New Beginners Church, one of our partner churches in ministry. We allowed our people to see what was going on there, and we just had just a slew of people there, and that was really cool to see that. A couple things I want to just do right quickly before we get going. I want to remind you to go ahead and make sure that you fill out your connection card, if you would, and that would be really cool if you could do that if you haven't already. And we'll get to those a little bit later. But today's message is a little bit different. We're going to hear from some different people, and we're going to kind of see how what we've been talking about recently in Ephesians chapter 4 kind of plays out in some of their lives. And it's been really cool to see how God has worked in a number of folks' lives over the years. As they have tried different things, and they have done some wild and crazy things. And one of those wild and crazy things that I just want to point out is somebody who just last weekend, a couple of people in our family tied the knot. And I want to just introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in the Integrity Church family on Sunday morning. Where did she go? You're supposed to stand up with your husband. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Jason Westbrook, who we had the privilege. Jason and Kelly both are part of our worship team, and you didn't see them up there today because they couldn't make it to practice Wednesday night because they were doing this honeymoon thing. So it was a wonderful time we had last week with them, and many of you were there to share it with us, and it was just a really cool thing. And thank you for being there. I want to start off this week by reviewing just a little bit, and this thing that we've been talking about in Ephesians chapter 4 has everything to do with our meeting the calling, figuring out the calling that God has on our lives and living that out. Because as we've said before, if we miss the calling that God has placed on the lives of those who trust Him and those believers that come to know Him and want to follow Him, you know, we've missed everything. The biggest thing in life, the most important thing in life that we do is figure out what God has called us uniquely to and for us to go do it. Many of us, as we've talked about in our church, are in that. You're living in that. You're in a groove right now. There are others that I know are still kind of trying to figure that out. And you know, that's okay. I believe that as long as we're diligent in trying to figure out what it is that God is trying to do in our lives, then, and if that is the case, then you know what? I believe that He honors that. And He brings us closer toward that destination, that place in our lives where we want to be. And so today I want to just real quickly do a review with you from what we talked about last week. And the first thing I want to do is recall to your memory, or remind you to bring back to your memory the definition of a couple of terms that are going to become part of our corporate language as we move forward in looking at this whole idea of living out our strengths and living out who we are. A strength, if you remember, is an activity in which you have the potential to consistently perform at a level of near perfection. Now, you got that? It is an activity. It's something that you do in which you have the potential to consistently perform at a level of near perfection. That's very important, all right? Second and third things about that definition is that our strengths affirm a couple of things. The first thing that it affirms is what you are good at. Remember last week I asked you, if you would, to write down out by your outline what are some of the things that you're good at. Just write one thing that you feel like might be a strength. And I know a lot of you did that, and that was really cool. And the second thing that it affirms is what energizes you. The things that you're good at and that energize you. Those are the things that I believe that God uses to give us a clue so that we can know a little bit about where we need to be going with our lives, both vocationally, in terms of ministry, in terms of volunteer and civic work, and all that good stuff. Wow. So I'm in a wind tunnel. So God planned you with this in mind. And so figuring out your strengths, what you're good at, what really energizes you is going to give you a huge clue with regard to how God wants you to live out your life. And if you don't find the way God wants you to live out your life and live into it consistently, not just on Sunday morning, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, you know what? We miss out on just so much, don't we? We miss it. We miss it. You know, at my age, I guess I'm beginning to look more toward section C in the newspaper. And that's, the C2 is the obits, right? And, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, I had to, you know, a couple of deaths this week among people that I know. And because a lot of people that were, you know, adults when I was growing up, you know, I'm seeing pass on nowadays. And as I look through those, I'm thinking, almost each time I look at the obit page, I say, you know, I wonder if those folks ever found out God's real plan for their lives. And I wonder if their lives were really lived out in such a way that they honored him and that they found that groove that God intended for them to live in. And did they live into it? It's a question that I have just so often. And so I want us not to miss the opportunities to do that. The second thing I want to review with you today is what we said about a logical life approach. We said last week that we need to learn how to take the best of our week. In other words, those things, those areas of our strength. Remember, because I asked you to fill out on your connection card, and I'm going to give you the results of that in just a minute. On your connection card, whether or not you spent most of your week living into your strengths, or whether you didn't do it much at all, or whether you were somewhere in the middle. And we said we need to take the best of our week, that time that we're living into our strengths, the time that we're doing things that actually energize us, and try to make that the most of our week. In other words, the idea is to increase the proportionality of what we do that helps us live into those strengths. So to illustrate that today, I want to do a couple things. I want to invite a couple folks up with me on stage, and Chuck and I are going to do this together. I don't know if that's your mic or mine, but I want you to welcome some very good friends, folks that you know very well, have been around for a while, and that's kind of the point of it. Jonathan Garner. Y'all give Jonathan a big old hand, John. And Mark and Donna clap. Mark and Donna have been down here with us since about April of 1997. So they are really old timers. And we're going to talk to them about their journeys in this whole area of, well, I didn't mean that you were old people. It's just that you've been around a long time. You understand? You're a good man. So Mark and Donna and John, all of them have had just, you know, major roles in our church for quite some time. We need to get them some mics, don't we, Chuck? And just to introduce these guys, Jonathan served for quite a while as our youth pastor here at Integrity, and his life has taken a really unusual turn, maybe. For you, probably not unusual, right? Chuck, why don't you guys tell us about what Jonathan's got going on now and kind of how he's kind of moved into what he's doing now.
As many of you know, Jonathan was the youth pastor here for a couple years. He was actually my successor. After I was in that position for a while, he took over when I went to Cambodia. And Jonathan and I have had a conversation about this, but I want you to share with them on Bud's scale. I think it was 1 means that 60 to 100% of your time was in your strengths. 2 means maybe 30 to 60% in your strengths. Or number 3, you guys remember this from last week, his scale that he gave you and you wrote it down. Or 3, less than 30% of time spent in that job was in your strengths. How did you feel about that time in your life?
I would say it was a 3.
Okay, so less than 30% of Jonathan's time when he was the youth pastor. Yeah, we're getting all kind of wind tunnel noises and beeps. It's either the sound system or aliens.
Yeah, we believe in both.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it was less than 30. Now, obviously, Jonathan's one of my best friends. He loves God. He loves young people. He loves helping people. It wasn't like a faith issue or anything like that. He was here doing the best he could, but can you give me an idea of why? Give me an example of why it really didn't fit your strengths.
Well, it really had a lot to do with the fact that I work a lot better with individuals. I'm very just kind of person-centered, and I like to really get to the root of issues and work as much with individuals as possible. And of course, within the youth ministry, you're working with tons of individuals. And I felt like a lot of my job had to do, administrational stuff as well.
Right.
Tons of administrational work and Yeah, anybody that knows me knows that that's not
what I'm saying. And so that was a bit of a frustrating time, also certainly a learning experience for you. I know that you made a job switch, and now you work with Triumph. Mm-hmm. And tell us kind of where would that fit on your scale?
Yeah, well, I transferred into Triumph. Triumph is a community support agency. I work one-on-one with individuals of all ages and with mental and behavioral disorders. And so that actually moved me more into like a number two on the scale. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel much closer to doing what I'm gifted to do, but there's still room to go. So I feel like I'm kind of gradually progressing.
Right. That's one of the things that Bud and I want to emphasize is that, see, it's difficult to make a jump from a three situation to a one. Mm-hmm. And that's not really what we're looking for or asking for. What we're looking for is what Jonathan has done, and to gradually, maybe even incrementally, in your current job or by possibly switching jobs, move towards your strengths. It doesn't mean that Jonathan, you know, he didn't quit his job and then jump right into something that just absolutely 100% fits him.
Right.
But he's moving in that direction, and that's the goal with strengths and what we're trying to.
And you can
about.
Do that not only with your job, but also hobbies, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
As
can.
Well, to kind of fill that, right?
Sure.
And also, you know, just kind of moonlighting or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan is taking up kind of a new hobby. Some of you guys may know about it. He has been training as an ultimate fighter, mixed martial arts, and this is shots from his first full contact victory, I might add.
Oh, he crushed him.
There he is, the monster that he is.
We got a video.
I'm his trainer, just in case you wonder. I know y'all probably already knew that.
Yeah. But,
he beat the guy in like less than 2 minutes by submission, rear naked chokehold, I think they call it. You can ask Jonathan why they call it that. Those are some pictures. But on a serious note, this is something that really kind of energizes you, especially the training for it. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, it's funny because, and Chuck, I'm sure these guys will get more into like the process of discovering your strengths and that type of thing at a later time, and in the class as well that's going to be offered. But Chuck and I have worked together and done some. He had helped me out, helped me get a little more specific about things that I am good at and things that energize me, as Bud mentioned last week. Is that normal?
You're fine, don't worry. Steven's gone.
Okay.
Worked some magic on it.
And one of the things that I really began to think about was one of my strengths in particular happens to be adventure. And everybody could define that in a different way, but I got really specific about defining the adventure for me. And that, I guess it was revealed to me that means more or less doing new things, things that are a little on the extreme side, and things that are, you think I'd know this by now, but, and also things that are with individuals who are also as equally motivated to do the things as I am. And so that's kind of how I got into this area, but I also happen to be very physical as well in nature. And it's funny because looking back when I was a little kid and stuff, like my dad nicknamed me Ricochet, and because I'd be bouncing off of stuff all the time, and I was always having scars and bumps and cuts and all kind, you know, and I'd like to wrestle around and all that. But it's funny how you kind of lose that stuff as you get older. You think, oh, that's just childish stuff or whatever, but not all children are even like that. You know, there's reasons that certain children are like that. And so through gymnastics and various avenues when I was a kid, I was able to release that energy. Unfortunately, I was never as specific and as intentional as I would have liked to have been. And now I have that opportunity through mixed martial arts.
That's cool. Thanks, Jonathan. There's tons more he could tell you about the other. I think there's five strengths that he's identified and gotten very specific. He's got it on a half sheet of paper that he could show you. And it's just really clearly helped him identify and begin to move towards his strengths. One of the other things that Jonathan mentioned is that even as a little kid, those things were evident. The research says that at age five, even as little children, a lot of our strengths are already present and visible. And so that's one of the things we'll talk about in the strengths class when we get to it.
Jonathan, one quick question for me. You mentioned that the youth pastor thing here was a three. The Triumph thing, you're thinking maybe somewhere in the two range. Where would you say the mixed martial arts thing is for you? give it a number?
Oh, that's definitely a one.
So he's looking for sponsors.
Yeah, we're going to sponsor.
So he can quit his Triumph job and just start training full time.
We might be the first church to sponsor an Ultimate Fighter. So if you guys, you know, we've got a video, and you know, if Jonathan, he'd probably love to show it to you. So he wouldn't, because
we've got
humble.
A video, but some of you might not appreciate it as much as others of us.
Yeah, we loved it the other day. I was wanting to show it. I was all gung-ho about showing it, and the guys were telling me, said, "Bud, we may not want to show it on Sunday morning." So anyway,
what you do need to see, even if you don't see the videos, you need to ask Jonathan to show you the belt that he won. Okay, anybody who, like, a long time ago used to watch WWF, and they give the wrestlers like this big gold huge belt. He's got one.
He's got one of those. So, pretty good, huh, Mark? That's really cool. Thanks, John. That's good. John, thank you so much for sharing with us today. Your story's a great one. It really is. And another couple, again, that mean a lot to us is Don and Mark Clapp. Don and Mark came back in our very first year while we were still at Holiday Inn. And I remember Donna had the long flowing hair all the way down her waist and everything. It was dark then and all. Yeah, you said that, not me. And and Mark had more hair then. And but these guys have been just awesome friends of ours down through the years. And both of them, God has brought them through some real cool journeys. I'm going to start with Mark, because a few years ago we did a 40 Days of Purpose campaign, as I remember, Mark. And I think some of your story ties back to that time frame, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. You decided at that point, Mark was a pretty successful salesman in the business world, and yet he sensed God tugging on him to explore a new area. So Mark, you want to share with us a little bit about that, how that all kind of, that journey began, if you would?
Well, this goes back actually 5 years.
5 years.
Five years. Cool. And I'd worked for a company for 22 years, sales management, traveling large part of this country. But the guy who owned the company died, his two sons took it over, and ultimately I wasn't on the same page as those guys, and I had kind of gotten to the point in my life where I thought, you know, I'm not going to get rich, but I do want to make a difference in people's lives, and for some reason I was feeling the calling of teaching. And so I had approached the central office here with our school system concerning, you know, with my degree, it was not a true business degree, just it was related to business. And I had approached those guys and said, you know, am I qualified for what they call a lateral entry teacher? And at the time, and this was like in January of 02, and so they send your transcripts and stuff off to DPI, Department of Public Instruction in Raleigh, and they got back with me and they said, no, Mark, I'm sorry, but you're not. I said, you know, your degree is not relevant to teaching business. So, you know, they just kind of said, we're sorry. And so I actually went to the closest school that does business education is A&T. And I went to A&T and sat down with the dean of the department and just asked her, I said, what is it I need to do to get credentials to be able to teach business in a high school level? And so she went through my transcripts and said, well, you need 60 hours of classes to get your, basically they were getting me another degree. And so at that point, I mean, that was 2 years of college, and I just said, you know, I can't do that again. I had two teenage boys, a family, a house, and I just couldn't do it. And so I put it on the back burner. I basically just kind of said, you know, this isn't going to happen. And then what kind of made my decision, I went in one day and the business was struggling, and I went in one day and middle of August, and they had a meeting with me. And one of the sons, you know, called me into his office and basically said, Mark, you know, we're sorry, but we're gonna have to let you go. And you're talking about getting shot between the eyes, you know, and that was totally unexpected. And I remember leaving that day and just, I can't even describe the despair, basically, of thinking, you know, what am I going to do? Got a little bit of severance, but I drove around for about 2 hours, and I finally called Donna. I said, guess what, man, I lost my job today. And I remember going home that night after driving. I don't even know where I drove, just kind of aimlessly for about 2 or 3 hours. And I got home, and Walker and Braxton, my sons, were in their bedroom playing video games. I said, guys, I lost my job today. I said, I don't know what it means, but other than we're going to have to tighten our belt and some things will have to change financially for us. And I laid in bed that night And I remember, and I tell this story to every class, new class that I get, but I laid in bed that night, and I'm like, God, I need some help. And I opened the Bible. I just grabbed the Bible and randomly opened the Bible. And I went to Hebrews chapter 10, and I read that chapter. And I got nothing out of it. come on, God. And then I went to chapter 11, and I read that first verse, Hebrews 11:1, and it's become my mantra now. But that verse is what is faith? This is the confident assurance that something you want will happen. The certainty that something you're hoping for is out there, although you may not be able to see it. And then I went in verse 6, Hebrews 11:6 says, you can never please God without faith, without totally depending on Him. And anybody who comes to God must first believe that there is a God and that He will reward all those who come and sincerely look toward Him. And I read that chapter, man, and I tell you, and I still get chills thinking about it, but I felt this burden. I felt it from my head, and I just felt it go. And it was one of the most incredible feelings I've ever had in my entire life, and the burden left me, just like that. And I said, God, ball's in your court. I said, whatever will be, will be. I was thinking, I got a punch list at home. I got some things I need to do. Play a little golf, kind of get my handicap down. You know, I think, you know, things are going to work out. And I just felt it leave me. And so on that Monday, I called central office back and I said, some things have changed in my life. I'd like to do some substitute teaching to see if this is anything I want to pursue. And the personnel director said, Mark, are you aware a job has just opened up at Williams High School? I said, you're kidding. She says, no, they're interviewing Wednesday for that job. So I got off the phone from her, and I called the principal, Gary Thornburg. I said, Gary, and I knew Gary, and I said, Gary, this is Mark Clapp. I understand you're interviewing for a business position. I'd love to interview for that job. And so set up an interview on that Wednesday, and I told him the story. I told him about Hebrews 10. Then I told him about Hebrews 11. And I said, for whatever reason, Gary, this job is supposed to be this is where I belong. I believe that with all my heart. And on that Friday, I got a phone call and I got hired. Mm-hmm. And that Monday, I was teaching. And school had been in progress 2 weeks, and you just want to talk about a deer in the headlights. I was, but I'll never forget, you know, when I got hired and I went to Walker and Braxton, I said, guess what, guys, I got a job. And they both were students at Williams. And they said, doing what? I said, teaching. And they're like, teaching? Where? I said, at Williams. And I tell people, man, if I had a camera, if I could have taken a picture of that look they both had, it was... I said, guys, I'm not there to get in your business, believe me. I'm just there to do a job. But God opened up doors for me at that point. Now, I can go on. I got a long
story. You will. We'll get back to you, man. I want to kind of let Donna intersect in here because she has quite a unique story herself. Donna, I asked Donna about probably 5-6 years ago or so, something like that. I asked her to come on our staff because in 2000, so it has been a while. And I asked Donna to come and because, you know, her personality is just incredible and she deals with people so well. And she also had some bookkeeping experience. And so I asked Donna, I said, come on. And she prayed about it and she figured out that what I was asking her was the same thing that God was leading her to at that point. And she worked with us very faithfully in our office for a number of years. And I guess probably been about a couple of years ago that you began to have some of that tug because you kind of saw what Mark had done, and you're in the past in your college career, you had kind of thought about that educational field. So talk about that just for a minute, and kind of how God began to direct you that way, and how what you know you made the move. I mean, you made the move, and. And you know, just talk about what that move was like and how that's kind of played out in the last few months.
Well, I had written some things down, but it's not anything what he just
asked. Oh, you go ahead and say it. You say what you want
to
write, darling.
I saw the passion that Mark had, and I saw it was just amazing to me how he, I mean, it was very hard work what he did. I mean, he works much, much harder now as a teacher than he ever did as a businessman. And, I mean, literally, that's what he'll probably do tonight is grade papers. And But I just saw this passion that he had, and I wanted this passion. And I remember going to Bud and just telling Bud that, you know, in most jobs that you have, you can't go to your boss and say, I'm not sure if this is where I need to be. But I'm very thankful that I was able to go to my boss and express that. But I wanted that passion, and I started the search for that passion. And luckily, as a staff, when I was on staff here, we did the Strengths Finder. We did a personality test. And I myself would just do anything that I could find to explore different careers and opportunities. I just felt that so much my calling from God had to do with my my profession. But I just felt like I was doing a lot of the right things, but just not in the right place. And some of you may think, well, the church would be the perfect place to work, but it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And,
it was for a while.
It was for a while.
Sure.
And then I just, but again, that just the opportunities that you had given me. One thing that Bud said that really, I kind of paraphrased. I wrote this down.
Okay.
And it just kind of stuck with me. He said, when you have the job that you love and it's right for you, after a long day's work, you're not really exhausted, but you're energized. And the passion of what you do gives you energy throughout the day. And Bud said that's what how – that is paraphrased. I can't remember exactly how he said it, but I was not exactly energized sometimes. And And so
it's
I thought,
because of Rick. Stealing with Rick. That was that reason.
Well, and actually, Rick asked me one time, do you love your job? I'm like, no, I like it, but I don't love it. And Rick said, but he just couldn't understand that I didn't love my job. And I saw the passion that Rick had. Rick was one that really had a great passion. And I told Bud, I said, you know, I'm thinking about going back into education. That was where I had my education was in education, although I never had a degree in education. But Rick was kind of discouraging me. No, I've been there. You don't want to go there.
A lot of help you are. Yeah, just hadn't you got to go and get ready for kid stuff, Rick?
But I started a search, and it was kind of a long search. I kind of think I wanted, as Mark, I wanted just to hit me over the head and go, okay, this is what you need to do. But that wasn't how it happened for me. I had to really search. And somebody had told me one time, it's like a treasure chest. God has a treasure chest for everybody. But you have to you have to get the map, and then you have to explore what's in that treasure chest. And it took me a long time, but I searched and searched, and I found in the treasure chest the vocation that he has for me. And it is in the field of education, but it's not in the classroom. I'm a secretary and a bookkeeper for an elementary school. And I'm not exhausted when I get home, and I work much longer hours than I ever did here. I work 10, 11-hour days, and I leave my workplace thinking, this is the best place to work. You know, thank you, God, for this job. This was made for me. It's who I am. But it was a long search, and I found that my number one strength was that of learner. So it made sense to be in the field of education, although I'm not actually teaching. But adapter is another one of my strengths, and I can adapt and have to juggle lots of different things going on. And also, one of my strengths, I'm not sure what it's called, but with people. You know, as Bud said, I'm not a wooer.
But a relator?
I'm an adapter and an includer. I like to include people and make people feel welcome. But just being in a field where I can combine my strengths and my skills, and that's what it took, was my strengths and my skills to find the right job for me. But it was a process. And also, I think before I could even find where I belonged, I had to overcome a lot of my doubts and self-doubts. And I had a lot of self-esteem issues, and I just didn't feel like I was worthy. And I did do a class with recovery, and recovery made me feel like that I was worthy. And I had, first of all, I had to believe in myself, and I had to know that I was worthy and that I was a person of worth. And before I could make that next step and start hunting through my treasure chest, and there's lots of things still left in the treasure chest to find.
And you even, when you left here, you went directly into the classroom.
I did go directly into the classroom for about a year.
So you gave that a try.
I did.
And you took that on.
Uh-huh. And I realized, this is not the right, this is the right place, but not the right
function, maybe.
Yeah, functions. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But now I still have interaction with kids, which
sure.
I love. I do a lot of multitasking, and I think, and I like doing that. I like multitasking.
Yeah, you're good at that. And your position you have, the lead secretary, lead administrative person in a school, mm-hmm. is probably right there with the principal in terms of influence, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah. You always want that to be your best friend, the secretary.
Well, and seeing one of my strengths is significance, and I thought, God, that's kind of a stuck-up strength. And but you know what? Every job, it has to be significant for you. Every job, no matter what it is a job of significance. Every job, but it has to be in your mind and in your heart to know that it's significant for you. So.
Good point. Thank you, Donna. That's a great story. Mark? Let's pick up from there. You've had some real affirmations, and I know you've seen Donna and the effect it's had on her, obviously.
We don't want to go completely there.
No, maybe not completely, but talk about some of the affirmations that you've seen for both of you, maybe you individually and for Donna and you maybe as a couple, as to how this is really kind of just jumping out like this in the context of Hebrews 11, what it's done for you guys.
Well, my first affirmation, when I was hired and not even being familiar with the process of getting certified, they hired me under a condition they call emergency entrance, I think is what they called it, which basically they hired me at a first-year teacher pay. And for all you guys out there that think that teachers don't make a lot of money, they're right. And basically I was making a third of the income that I was making. And it was a huge pay cut. And I know I knew with the severance that I got on top of that, I thought, well, maybe I can get through this year and just see what happens. If this is where God wants me, this things will work out. And I just felt that and I believed that. And so after I was hired, and on top of this emergency entrance, I had to go back and take 15 hours of classes my first year of teaching in order to even be rehired for the second year. And so I just said, whatever, if this is it, things will work out. And so after I was hired, I actually had written a letter. I had to have one of my former employers write a letter kind of detailing my work experience with what I had done. And that letter was sent back to DPI along with my transcripts again. And so after I had, it was probably within about a month and a half to 2 months, I received an email. I remember it very, very well. I was in the library one afternoon reading my emails, and I had an email from the personnel director, and her first line was, "Mark, you must be living right." She said, we just heard back from DPI. And they said, now, which 8 months ago my degree was not a relevant business degree, said, now they have accepted your degree as a relevant lateral entry degree to teach business. I was like, oh, that's great. Then she said, on top of that, they have designated 12 hours of classes that you need to complete to get your certification. So it went from 60 hours to 12 hours in 2 years.
Mm, wow.
I said, that's very doable. Mm. And then the last part, kind of God just swept me off my feet with that last one. And so they've also have granted you your 22 years of work experience. And my pay went from a first-year teacher to a 22-year teacher.
Wow.
About close to a $20,000 pay raise. And I stood up in the library and went, thank you. And I had somebody beside me said, so what are you doing? I said, I am having a spiritual experience right now. I said, and from that point, then I knew I had no doubt in my mind that God had just picked me up and said, here, this is where I want you to be. And I believe it to this day. And so that was my really the very, very first confirmation that I had individually.
Mm.
And the other thing, when I got into teaching, and really why I felt I belonged there was just through coaching. And that was something I had coached my son in basketball AAU, and something that I had a passion, a real passion to do was coaching basketball. And And that was one thing that I wanted to do, was to get into coaching. 2 years ago, the head coach left, and I actually had contacted my old high school coach, and I said, man, there's a job open here at Williams for basketball. Why don't you come down, get this job, and I'll be your assistant coach? And what I didn't know, he had taken a job at another school, and he couldn't, so the guy they hired was a guy that had been there a couple of years ago, and he left to go to a school in the mountains, but they hired him. He came back, Josh Jordan, and Josh is like 26, 27 years old, a young guy, and they had hired him as the basketball coach. And so, again, I just kind of put that on the back burner, and last year, I remember Josh came to me and said, I'd like for you to be my assistant coach. Where'd that come from, you know? And it kind of blew me away. I mean, I just wasn't even expecting it. So I've been coaching basketball, you know, the assistant varsity boys coach for the last 2 years. And, again, it's just something that I love doing. And God just kind of somehow or another made it happen. And then along the way, my confirmations are emails from students who have graduated and come back and just said, just things they've told me that, that humbles me, but makes me think that I've made a difference in their life. And it's like, thank you, Jesus, you know, for putting me in this position to do this. And then since I've seen Donna, and, you know, and we can go back a few years, and I remember Bud coming to school one day and said, you know, we need to talk, you know. And Donna was not happy at the time, and I think she was searching where she needed to be. And, you know, Bud and I talked a lot about her and just feeling pain because I knew that she was not happy with what she was doing. And then as what's happened this year and to see the difference in her, and I think it's made us, our marriage has gotten stronger because of knowing how happy she is and what she's doing and And me as well, even though we work all the time, we don't see each other much anymore. maybe that's why.
Mark, you're not supposed to go there. I mean, you know, that's
both of our kids are gone. You know, they're both, you know, we got the empty nest going. Our kids are in college, and you know, we're home, and but we see each other maybe a couple hours at night. But it has just made, you know, I feel like we're as close as we've ever been.
That's great, man. It's awesome. And another thing, Mark. Lady golfers have always been a big thing to you because your mom's one and she can kick your fanny on the golf course. I know that, and you get to coach. You're coaching,
and I also coach girls golf
that as well. So,
and I've never coached girls before, and that's different.
For seeing how you coach, I can understand how that would be a big
that's
transition.
That's very
for
different,
you.
But it's been something that, again, the relationships with these girls has been great. And as we're going on trips, and when I hear their stories, they say things in front of me that I know they don't even think I'm there, but I'm like,
raise it to
talking
more.
About boys and girls who don't like girls and
new stuff. For
yeah,
you.
Man, but
new
it's stuff just been it's something that again, that's just what I'm supposed to be doing. And I tell my students every year I tell them my story, as I call it. And I'll tell these guys, I said, for whatever reason, and I said, I'm not here to preach, I'm not here to try to force my beliefs on you, but all I know is this, that God has placed me right here in this classroom with you guys for a reason. I said, I don't know why, I said, but I believe that we are together for a reason and that God's done it. And hopefully you guys will learn from me, and I know I will learn something from you. And I've had parents come up to me and tell me, then their kids have told their parents my story. And parents come to me and say, you know, you don't understand the impact you had by telling that story. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just what God has given to me, and all I'm doing is telling it. I try not to be, you know, I'm not even trying to be a Bible-slapping witness. I'm just telling my story, and it basically has become my testimony.
That's good stuff, man. And in all three of these cases, we see stories. We see people who are choosing to live into their strengths, Mark and Donna and Jonathan, and the way God is using that and the way he's developing them and advancing his kingdom because of what they're willing to do. So give them a big hand, a big thanks for just telling us today and sharing us with that. And that's just an incredible story. It's a beautiful story. And we love the fact that you guys are doing this. Thanks so much, all of you. Just real quickly, I do want to fill in your blanks real quickly, and it's just going to take a second. I just want to...
Yeah, man. Books.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. We've got... Yeah, go ahead and talk about that. You got your mic on?
You heard Bud mention the last couple of weeks we're going to give away a couple of books. It's called Go Put Your Strengths to Work. They're on that back table. And many of you indicated on your card last week that you were interested in being in this drawing. We drew the cards this morning, and here are six winners.
There's the winners right
there. Conrad, Amy, Patricia, Summer, Tom, and Mark. And so if this is you, you can go back there to that table where Wade's at and grab your free book. And also, we will have some additional copies for sale for $20 each.
Yep.
And we'd love for you to grab one of those. If you're an avid reader, you'll enjoy that. If you don't like to read, don't feel pressure to go and pick one up and read it, because in January, we're going to have a class that takes you through that on video.
Exactly. So,
Rick.
That's a lot of us, buddy. That's you, Rick. Yeah. Real quickly, let's review a little bit more. By the way, just so you'll know, 40% of you last week said that my vocation brings me into a one, that I am using most of my time, I am using for most of the time my strengths in my vocation. 40%, that is incredibly encouraging and way above the national average. The twos, those who said, I'm not real sure, that was another 40%, and only about 20% of the folks said, you know, I'm just not living into my strengths at all. So that was really encouraging on that survey that you allowed us to do last week. Let me real quickly remind you that our gifts, God talks about our gifts. Paul talks about gifts, remember, in verse 13, he says, or in verses 11 through 13, he is the one who gave these gifts to the church. And he talks about, way back in verse 7, about the gift that each of us have been given. Now, we talked about the fact that gifts, are the gifts that God gives us individually, are our avenues of influence. They are the means for us to influence others in the kingdom of God. You heard three stories up here about folks who discovered what their avenues of influence would be. It had to do with their function, and had to do with where they carried out that function. And that's where God wants all of us to be, in a groove where we're influencing, we're having the maximum influence in the lives of people. And then let me ask you last week to think about what does a growing or a grown, fully grown Christ follower look like? What does that look like? Remember, that was the question we closed with last week, and hopefully you spent some time kind of agonizing over that a little bit this week. But I want to give you three things that we see in verses 14 through 16 in Ephesians chapter 4 that gives us clues of trends. Now, these are trends. Trends are things that kind of occur over time. And I want to give you three trends that we identify here. Now, after Christmas, when we get through with our Christmas series, which is called Unwrapping the Christmas Mystery, we're going to go back into Ephesians 4, and we're going to look from these character trends, we're going to go into some character traits. We're going to take it to a little bit more specific level to see what are the things that God wants us to do on an individual day-to-day basis to live out these trends. And here are those trends. The first one is we've got to have growing levels of discernment. Growing levels of discernment. Discernment is a product of wisdom and understanding. That's basically what that is. And it says in verse 14, then we will be, once we've discovered our gifts, once we've kind of allowed ourselves to be equipped and to be moved toward fulfilling the kingdom potential, then the Bible says we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different, or because someone has clearly lied to us or cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like a truth. You know, a lot of us, we fall for anything we hear. We fall for things that other people tell us, even when we know they're not true. And you know, we allow ourselves often to get caught up in things that we shouldn't allow ourselves to get caught up in, simply because we don't have the discernment that we need. The Christ follower who is growing and who is moving toward maturity is going to have a growing level, growing levels of discernment. It's not that you're smart all of a sudden. It doesn't happen that way. But this is a trend. God brings us along a path to where we get wiser and wiser as time goes on. And therefore, we can trust a little bit more our own instincts, when our own instincts are grounded in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. You see, I think that every day we need to be praying for wisdom, and God wants to give it to us. The second thing that we see, the second trend, is an increasing resemblance, an increasing resemblance of Christ. We begin to look more like Him every day. And that's where we're really going to go in our series beginning in January, about what that means. What does it mean if I have a growing and increasing resemblance to Jesus Christ? What does that look like in my everyday life? What does that mean when I go to work? What does that mean when I'm with my family? What does that mean when I'm with my wife, or if I'm single? What does that mean when I'm with someone that I'm dating? And so that's an important thing. Verse 15 says, instead, Paul says, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. Becoming more like Christ, a resemblance to Him. Is your life exhibiting a trend that says more and more every day, I'm looking more and more like Christ? That's the question. If so, then you're moving toward becoming that Christ-like individual. Third, there has to be an increasing spirit. This is the third trend, an increasing spirit of cooperation in kingdom growth. Now, what does cooperate mean? In order for me to cooperate, I've got to have what? Other people to cooperate with, don't I? That's what the kingdom is all about. Look at verse 16 with me. And there Paul says, under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and living and growing and full of love. Here's the tragedy, I think, that we all go through. And these are kid stuff actors and actresses and singers, so they're okay. They have a place to go, and they're supposed to do that. Here's the tragedy in the church today. Many of us are not living at full capacity, and most of us that are not living at full capacity are probably not even aware of it. Did you hear what I said? Most people in the church are not living at their full kingdom capacity. And you know what? Most of those are not even aware that they're not living at that level. We have a tendency to do something that when I was in MBA school, we talked about a term called satisficing. It's kind of like satisfy, but it's to satisfice is to say, I'm willing to settle. I'm willing to settle for whatever is okay at that particular point in time. Satisficing says, you know, I'm willing to forego. I'm not even going to really look out there to find the absolute best for me because I'm okay with settling for whatever is okay right now in my life. And many of us live that way in the kingdom. We say, okay, God, I'm willing to live a satisficing life, which means I'm willing to just kind of keep it at a level of mediocrity. I'm okay to do what I'm doing now. But God, you know, if You've got something out there that's going to stretch me, that's going to make me want to go further, that's going to make me have a larger impact, I really don't want to know about it because I'm okay where I am. Me, Christians, live a satisficing life, and that's such a tragedy. Well, here, what's the church's role? Here's the church's role. We have to help people. We have to, and you as the church, you have a part in this. We have to work to make sure that we create a transformational environment. And this is where we're going to go after Christmas to talk about what it means for us to live in a transformational environment, because God wants lives transformed. He wants lives totally changed from the inside out. That is His goal. That is His purpose. And you know what? He works through you and I to do that. That is the way He does it. Now, He doesn't typically reach down and strike people on the head and all of a sudden make them transformed. Rather, His goal, if you read the whole context of this passage and all of Ephesians, God wants to see transformation occur, but He wants to see us working with each other, because you know how we are best transformed? Through the lives, the witnesses, the stories, and the influences of the people that you sit with in this room today. That is where transformation comes from. That is the primary means of transformation. As I'm growing, somebody else is growing. As you are growing, that person over there is growing because they see in you what's going on. And you have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to each other to be the best we can be, to figure out that groove that God has for us and to live into it. Because not only does it matter for me, it matters for every person that I come in contact with in the body of Christ and those who are not yet there in the body of Christ. I'm going to give you three things real quickly, what this really means as we close. First of all, we got to learn how to know God and others. We got to know God and others. Secondly, we've got to go serve and tell. We got to go. We got to get on the ball. We got to serve and tell. And we're going to see us really ratcheting up the emphasis on this in the future now. We're in our second decade now. We're entering our second decade. And this is the direction we're heading, folks, to know God and other people, to go serve and tell others about Him. And then the third thing is to grow. How? Personally and together. We want to understand that we got to know, we got to go, and we got to grow. And there are ways that we do this. And Pete, go to the next slide there. And see, all this works together. When we're doing this as individuals, and when we're trying to help others in this regard, a transformational environment will result. And you know what? A transformational environment will sustain over time. Here's the question. Are you willing to be a part of it? Are you willing to do your part individually and collectively to be a part of living in a transformational environment? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the chance we've had to hear some great stories today.